what we're going to do, we're going to do something a little bit different today. As you know, today we have Children's Cup here, and I want to introduce Doug Sands. Doug, why don't you wave at everybody real quick? This is Doug Sands and his daughter Grace. They're here with us this morning, and they're going to help us today with this child sponsorship. And so we're going to get into that in a few moments. But what I want to do today is just kind of recap some things that we've been talking about over the last few weeks and just get you ready, because today is not a commercial for sponsoring and adopting a child. We're going to talk about that. But today is about living to make a difference. That's what we want to talk about, living to make a difference. In our freedom, our series that we've been in is Living in Freedom. And so when we started this series, we talked about you're either going to live in the tree of life or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, meaning this: you're either going to live a self-help kind of life or you're going to live in a relationship with God. It's really your choice. And sadly, a lot of people are choosing rules over the relationship. And can I just say this? God's got a lot more for you than that. Look at your neighbor and say, you need a lot more than that. Come on, help me preach this today. God's got a lot more for you today. It's kind of like, I don't know if you guys have jumped on board with the Yanny and the Laurel thing. How many Team Laurel people? How many Team Yanny people? Y'all need Jesus. Let's pray. It's Laurel all day. How many of y'all think it's like Lonnie or something like that? I don't know where these people come up with this, but I just want to be relevant, so I'm talking about it. Anyway, so in week one, we talked about you were either going to live in this relationship with Jesus, or you're going to live by these rules. And when people live by rules, there's a threat that's always hanging over their life. And can I say this? I think fear is a terrible motivator. I really do. Like, even with raising kids, if you're raising your kids to be afraid of you, this is going to wind up biting you later on, because they're going to get brave enough to stand up to you. Amen? Come on, don't act like you got it all together. But if we raise them in a relationship and we're teaching them by faith, at some point this thing kicks in and there is an honor that comes with it because of the relationship. They can feel the love. And I believe that's how it's supposed to be in our relationship with God. There's a lot of people who know about God, but they don't truly know him because they're afraid of him. And can I say this? There is no need to be afraid of a loving God. Amen. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, God loves you. Come on, help me preach this thing today. Okay. So then in week two, we kind of shifted gears a little bit because everybody was inspired and hearing about this relationship with God. But in week two, we had to get down to a little bit of business, and we talked about living the crucified life. And this is where people were like, oh, I knew it. I knew you were about to throw this at us. But when we talked about living the crucified life, what we said was, I have to get to the point to where I'm living my life God's way. And so I have to die to some things that are keeping me from living the life that God has intended for me. Can I say that there are things that we're doing and ways that we're living that is keeping us from God's best in our life? And I want to say this, that God's best is better than anything else you can come up with. Amen. It's way better. And sometimes we think that God doesn't have our best intentions in mind, and it's because of our view of God. And we made reference to some of these beliefs in the Bible Belt that we're just trying to make sure that we walk the straight and narrow. Bless the Lord. If you don't live right, you're going to burn in hell, you know, that kind of stuff. And so what we're trying to do is help people to see that when Jesus came, he didn't come threatening hell. What he came was promising heaven. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How many of y'all like that? I love it, man. It's like he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you've seen those guys that are just threatening you with hell all the time. It's once again, scare me into doing something. But what happens when the fear wears off? What happens when the fear wears off? Then how are we going to live? If I understand the promise and I'm living in this relationship with God, it's going to continually motivate me to live right. And so that was week two. And then week three, we talked about that relationship with God, really bringing this thing to what it's all about. I'm living in a relationship with God. And Pastor Paul preached this one, and he talked about the difference between living as a son or a daughter rather than living as a slave. In other words, I get to rather than I've got to. Amen. And so it's this understanding that he is my father and he is a good father. Amen. He is a good, good father. If we can go ahead and sing the little song. You want to sing it with me? I didn't think you would. I'm always looking for my shot. Y'all don't give it to me. Let me sing. Let me out of my cage. So anyway, that was week three. We talked about living in a relationship with God. And then in week four, we jumped into the idea of living in grace, living by grace. And when we talked about grace, this is the main thing we were trying to help people see, that God is for me. Can I tell you that God is for you, and God wants to help you to live right? You know that word righteousness that we see all the time in the Bible that everybody is trying to achieve? Can I say that you can't achieve right living on your own? No matter how hard you try, you cannot do it on your own. You need some help. Elbow your neighbor. Don't say anything. They know what you mean. We need some help. And you know they need some help. Don't tell them that. Just nudge them and they'll get a clue. And God has given us his grace to help us live right. Amen. And so the grace of God is going to continually bring us back to Jesus. If we don't have grace, we don't stick with God. We run from him. But the grace of God, thank God for his grace. Thank God he didn't give you what you deserved. Come on, because we deserved a little bit of punishment. Am I right? But by his grace, we have been saved. Thank God for the grace of God. And so it's understanding the grace of God that he is helping me to live right by his grace. And then in week 5, we started talking about living by the Holy Spirit and understanding the need for the Holy Spirit in our lives, the helper. God has given us a helper. And watch this. I'm just going to drop a bomb on you here today. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of holiness. I know, it's mind-blowing. I know, it's like I never knew that. But the Holy Spirit helps us to be holy. He comes over us and influences us to holiness. And if you remember the example we used, I came down on the floor and using my power, I lifted that speaker. And many of you thought I was struggling, but I actually wasn't. I just gave the illusion of that to sell the illustration. Actually, I kind of tweaked my back a little bit when I lifted it. And it further proved the point that we should not be trying to carry this heavy load, this heavy burden by ourselves. He has given us the Holy Spirit. What does the Bible say? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive what?
Power.
Power. Power. And so the Holy Spirit gives us the power to carry this thing out and to live this thing the way that God intended for us to live it. And so that was week 5. And then last week we had an incredible message on confidence. We took a pause from our series by my lovely wife, Pastor Cynthia. Come on, why don't you give her a hand again? She talked about confidence. If you were not here, I'm mad at you. You should have been here, but I love you still. And you can go listen to the podcast. Anyway, I love you. I really do. It was fantastic. It was a message about confidence. But today what we're going to talk about is living to make a difference. And this is the question I want to pose to you today. What are you going to do with what God has done in you? What are you going to do with the work that God has been working in you? How many would raise your hand today and say that God has done something in my life at one point in time? And so the question I have to ask you is, what are you going to do with that? Because a lot of people, they just want to get everything good. Can we just get back to good? And they get settled right there at getting back to good, only to see some things begin to repeat themselves again. And they get in the cycle of good and then bad and then good and bad. And then they wind up on the Jerry Springer show trying to figure out how in the world did we get here? And you don't want to wind up on that TV show. Can I hear an amen from somebody? And so what are we going to do with what God has done in me? And as I told you, we've been using the book of Galatians as the backdrop for this whole entire series. And I want to hit this one verse out of Galatians 5 today. Verse 13, it says, "You, my dear brothers, were called to live free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature." He's saying, listen, you got freedom, but you got to be smart with what you're doing with it. God gave you the freedom through Jesus, but what are you going to do with it? And he says, rather serve one another in love. And watch this, because all those people who believe you got to lay out all the rules and all this stuff and you got to keep people on track with them. Watch this. He says, the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I just feel like Jesus is so good the way he lays things out. And this guy named Paul, when he writes all this, he is so good with it, man. He just keeps it very, very clear. And sometimes we twist it and we use it to manipulate and control. Can I say that God isn't interested in controlling you? Come on, let that sink for a second. He doesn't want to control you, but he's still in control. You might be crazy, but he's got it all together. Look at your neighbor and say, I thought that about you. Don't do that. Don't do that. Okay. So here's the question. And not just what am I going to do with what God has done with me. Let me take it to another level. What are you going to do with your freedom now that you have it? And a lot of people, they want freedom, But the reason they can't stay free is because they're not using their freedom wisely. They're not doing anything with it. And sometimes I believe boredom sets in. And I heard this a long time ago. It says this, and it's not a Bible verse. So don't go telling people this is a Bible verse because it's not, but it sounds like one. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. I thought I'd have a better response than that. I just thought y'all were going to like it. But anyway, I'm going to say it again. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Meaning, if we don't have something in our hands, if we're not doing something with what God has done with us, then we're going to be tempted and fall into these traps that I believe Satan has laid out to try to trip you up to get you right back into the bondage that you were in before. But God has intended for us to live free because he's got a purpose for our lives. Amen. He's got a purpose for us, okay? So here's the thing. We have this choice. I can do whatever I want. Come on, you know those people. They beat their chest. I'm my own man. I'll do whatever I want. And ladies do it too. It ain't just guys. I'll do whatever I want. Or we can live the life that says, I want to do what God created me for. I want to do what God has created me for. So watch this in Galatians 6. In a minute, we're going to interview a couple of guys here today, and this is going to be so good. I'm excited about it. Galatians 6, watch this, because I want to set it up. It says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently, not forcefully, not threatening, but gently, amen? Amen? Come on, help me now. Should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Now watch, he's taking it to the next level. Because he's addressing this whole thing. This has been a progression. And he's been talking about how we get bound up in religion. He's been talking about how to live free. But now he's talking about what you're going to do with the freedom. And so watch what he says here. He says, share each other's burdens. And in this way, you obey the law of Christ. So he's trying to get this whole idea of the law being used so I can look at you and say, you're not good enough because you don't do what I do. In other words, it's saying if you're really going to obey the law of Christ, help that person who's not doing good do well. And now you're really, really living this thing the way God intended for you to live it. I mean, how many of you, when you hear that, you say, that just makes sense. But religion has put us in a place of comparison where we feel like I am better than that person, so I must be holy because I'm not as bad as them. And this is not what it's about. It's about I want to live right because God's got plans for me. Remember what our church is about. It's about following Jesus and living out God's plan. God's got a plan for my life, and I can't stay stuck. I've got to get moving. Amen? And too many people are stuck because they don't understand how this whole thing works, how the freedom that God gives really works, and they're not doing anything with it. But we want to help you to do something with the freedom that God has given you so not only you can keep being free, but you can help others find their freedom. Amen? How many of you know somebody that needs some freedom in their life? You know somebody. What if God were to use you? Look at your neighbor and say, I think God wants to use you. Why do y'all get all quiet when we talk like that? Come on, help me preach this thing. So a couple of things I want to highlight in here. He says, share each other's burdens, and in that way, you obey the law of Christ. Remember one of our values that we shared is that we are better together? Think about that, the whole sense of community, sharing each other's burdens. We need each other. Come on, I need you. Listen, if you ain't here, we ain't doing a whole lot here today. You know what I'm saying? I mean, reality. And you need me, and I'm not bragging. I'm just saying you need me. You need me to preach to you. And your wife's saying, you better preach good today, preacher, because he needs it. Amen? So we got to share each other's burdens, but we also have to understand that we are responsible for what we're going to do with what Christ is doing in us. We are responsible for that. And so today, I have a couple of friends who are here with me today that we're going to interview. And my good friend Jeremy Cameron is here from my home church back in Louisiana. Come on, why don't you give him a hand? Come on up, Jeremy. Jeremy's going to come. And Pastor Paul is going to join us also here today. And we're going to do this a little bit interview style. And say, they said, you don't need to preach so much. You need to talk to others. And so we're going to do that here this morning. And really what we want to do is this. I don't want to just load you up with a bunch of information. I want you to hear our heart. Y'all can sit wherever you want. You want to sit by me, Jeremy?
Absolutely.
Good, man.
I don't want to sit over here.
All right.
I don't have notes.
What's you don't need notes. Okay. You just need to say the right thing when it's your turn.
Hold on, okay?
So we're just going to have a conversation and y'all are going to listen. Is that cool? Okay. Jeremy's going to need that mic, so in a minute. So what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about living to make a difference. And I wanted to bring Jeremy up here today. Jeremy and I have been friends for quite some time now. Actually, his wife, Christy, come on, give Christy a hand, front row, and their boy, Brighton. They're here with us. Christy was in my youth group, and she started dating this guy back in the day. I was like, who's this guy? You know what I'm saying? Trying to make the move on my youth group girls. Boy, you better watch out, you know? And so started coming around. I didn't know about this guy. I didn't think he was going to make the journey, but I loved him anyway, you know? Sharing the burden. Yeah, anyway. Jeremy's like, look at this. What's going on? Anyway, but there you can see that there was some untapped potential in Jeremy. And there were some things that occurred back in 2010. And that's really why I wanted to bring him here today, because I think his story will really connect with you. Jeremy, why don't you take a moment here and tell them a little bit about where you were in 2010, just like in your life spiritually. And let's talk a little bit about what happened and then leading up to that first initial trip that we went on.
Okay. Well,
turn it on.
We on?
It's Kevin's mic.
Hello. It's are we on? Okay. So in 2010, life for all's sake was good. Business was good. Family was great. I was a pew sitter. I was dry. Did not know my purpose on earth. I felt like there was a lot more out there. And I was doing things, beating my chest, doing stuff by myself. And we had a trip to Haiti at our church, and I had spoken with one of my pastors and told him, just felt like something was missing in life. And he encouraged me to go through a lot of encouragement. It's not something I wanted to do at all. And
it was a lot more than encouragement. It was like
annoyed. He annoyed me to go. Let's be honest, okay?
Yeah.
And I finally said yes to get him off my back. And I went, and it changed my life. I found my purpose. Mm-hmm. And it not only changed my life and gave me joy and fulfillment, it honestly showed me what I was put here for. Mm. And it's been amazing, you know, for 8 years.
So tell them what you do, though, Jeremy, because I don't want y'all to think that Jeremy's like a preacher dude. I mean, preach, but... No.
This is honestly the first time I've ever been on stage speaking, so I'm being honest. So, like, this is not what I do.
You can listen to his podcast this week.
Yeah. I'm a contractor. I've done a lot of things. Honestly, I was here... How many years ago did you start?
6 years ago.
6 years ago, I came down for... What's that?
Day one.
From day one, we were at the first service here. We used to own an inflatable company, so I do a little bit of everything. And kind of thought that was my passion, but realized that's what fueled my passion, you know. But I'm a contractor, and we do everything from new construction to remodeling. But
this has become
what I do. You have to have a job. It's just kind of the way it works in life. And so I have a job, but this has become my passion, my purpose. And I know that. It's beyond a shadow of a doubt I know that. Mm. I spent some time with God years ago just saying, why am I here? Mm. There's got to be a reason. There's got to be a purpose I'm on this earth. Besides family, besides friends, and a job, there's got to be a purpose.
Mm. Now, when we went there, we went to Haiti originally.
Yes.
But when it was right after the earthquake in Haiti. We couldn't stay in Haiti. There was nowhere for us to stay. So they decided we were going to stay in Dominican Republic, which was a pretty good drive.
Yes.
But this was the only option. And so we were staying in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, and we had a connection with a missionary there to go to this specific village, which is the village that these children that we are sponsoring here today, this is where they are from. It's the Santa Rosa village in Santo Domingo. Tell them what happened to you, Jeremy, when we went to Santa Rosa and just the impact that it had on your life.
Well, the whole trip had been emotional. I've never seen anything like that in my life, even from the earthquake. It was a little overwhelming in Haiti for me. And so when we went to this village, it was an instant connection. And I don't know how. It changed me. And I felt like I can make a difference. Mm-hmm. With, you know, me as not a big company, as not a a name, but I can make a difference. And I went to Wade. Wade was leading that trip and on our end from the church. And I went to Wade and said, Wade, I think we had another place we were supposed to go the following day. And I said, I can't go, man. I have to come back to this village. I don't know why. And I remember he basically said, the only stipulation is I'm coming with you. And so I think we split up into two groups on that trip. And there was a group of us that went, and we made a difference. And in one day, we made a difference. And when we got home, I went to Wade. I went to my wife, went to my pastor, and I said, I've got to go back. And I've got to go back with a purpose, with passion, and truly make a difference. And we have. We've gone back.
You know, it was funny. On that first trip, we go to this school that's out there, and they didn't even have water in the school. And I remember Jeremy's reaction. He was appalled. He was angry. Like, because he would see these other places around in this village that would have these big tanks on top collecting rainwater. And he wanted to know, why don't they have one? And you remember, you're like, where do we get one of these? I want one today. And we literally found one, and that day put it on the roof.
We had running water that day and electricity.
Now, tell them about the electricity thing, because this is amazing, y'all. Now, it may have been theft, but it's in the Lord's name.
It was heavenly theft. And so,
don't tell them, Doug.
So, no, we tried. I honestly gave it my best shot to get electricity turned on in my name, and I said, you know what? I want to pay this bill. And they said, you can't do it. The government will not allow it. Well, why do all these people have electricity? Well, they stole it. Well, then how do we steal it? You know, I mean, it's kind of the way it was. I'm being honest.
I had nothing to do with that.
No, it was not him. It was me. And so we went to buy the wire to run to the school, and they started bringing me out 20, 30-foot pieces of wire. I think I needed like 300 feet. And I said, I don't want pieces of wire. I want like one run of wire, you know, like one full length. And they couldn't figure me. They didn't understand why. They just wired together. And so we finally got that part taken care of. And, okay, great. Now, how do we get it up on the pole? Who do we call? Well, they made some calls, and this gentleman shows up with a ladder.
He was not with the power company.
and through a translator, I said, well, what are you going to do? He said, well, I'm going to climb the pole, and I'm going to just wire it around there. And I said, well, how much do you charge? And basically, it was transferred to $20. And I told him I'd be glad to give him $40 because I just couldn't fathom this. And so for $40, he climbed the pole and wired it around there, and we still have power today.
We have a generator, too.
Yes, we do.
Just saying, but bless the Lord, oh my soul. That's why you got to bring Jeremy with you on these trips. Amen. So let me ask you this, Jeremy, because this trip definitely changed your life. You said you were a pew sitter before this trip. How did it change your life? Like, I mean, we get what the Lord stirred in your heart for this village, but you don't live there. You live in Louisiana, you know, you're a raging Cajun boy. And how has this changed your life now? Like, what are you involved in? What did it do to you?
Well, it honestly gave me a confidence that I felt like I had a purpose in life. And not only in Dominican, but in many other aspects, I love serving people. I love helping people. This is my primary goal. It's just what God's put on my heart to do. But I'll be honest, I'm 40 years old, and for the first time in my life, I'm excited. I'm passionate about God, about growing, about what the future's going to hold. Mm-hmm. You know, for 40 years, I've never made the morning prayer at our church. And you know, I'm sure they've told you about this, but I made it. I mean, I make it. I don't make it every week. Life goes on. But this is a big deal for me. Like, I was a pew sitter. I was a person that showed up and did stuff. And I still did stuff, even before this. I still was doing stuff, but it was doing it because of a need, not because it was my calling.
Wow.
Tell what would you say to that person out there today that might be stuck in that same position that you were in, that is, you know, searching for purpose, trying to figure out, you know, how do I live a life that makes a difference, that isn't so forced? Because I'll tell you this, none of this stuff that Jeremy has done, being involved, and the reason that he's here today, honestly, is he is one of the main reasons that this whole care point in Santa Rosa is happening. I'll just be honest with you. And that's why he's here with us today. What God has done in his heart, just we just kind of connected to it. And Jeremy would be the first one that says, hey, I don't want the credit. But I know the encounter that he had with God when we were there really birthed this thing. And here we are 8 years later. And even our partnership with Children's Cup, this thing is really starting to gain momentum. And our dream of being able to feed these kids and build a church there is really, really going to happen, church. And I'm right. so Come fired on. Up about this. But I need you to know that didn't happen because a pastor visited there and had this huge mega vision for it. It happened because a construction worker went on a missions trip and just said, we got to do something, and carried it out for years and years. And what he didn't tell you was he's gone back, built a second story onto a school building, collected a bunch of playground equipment, went back and built a playground out there, put roofs on houses, continually financially invested. He's not going to tell you that, but I will. And I'm not saying that to brag on him. I'm telling you, this is the difference that God made in his life. And this came from a guy that was just, I'm telling you, I knew Jeremy. He was a pew sitter, man. But he was loaded with potential, and he just needed to be with the right people in the right place at the right time. And it was all a setup. And now this dude's firing me up, and I'm about to come out there and shake somebody because you need to get motivated. Help me, Jeremy, because I'm about to say stuff I don't need to say.
Look, and I'm being serious. If you're sitting there and you're not sure, I'm telling you, take the leap of faith. It's changed my life. And then God has continually blessed us. You know, this even in my business, because we give. I will be honest, the first trip, I could not outgive God. I called my wife, and this was at $4 a minute phone calls back then, okay? And I said, Christy, I want to put ceiling fans up in this. And she would call me back 20 minutes later. Okay, I told her, I said, I want to pay for these. And she would call me back 20 minutes later. Oh, you got to do something else. Somebody's already taking care of that. And I just could not outgive God. And I sat there and I cried. I did. I sat there and I cried that night because I've never, in my life, I've never seen anything like God's never used me, not because he didn't want to, but because I wouldn't take that faith. Mm. And it's been that leap of faith. And honestly, like I said, I didn't want to go on this trip. Wade was not my favorite person in the world when I took this trip. Shocker, I know. Matter of fact, he was one of the reasons I didn't want to go. I'm being honest. I don't know if I told you that up front, okay? The same reason he didn't like me with my wife.
All right, let's give Jeremy a hand. Okay? I think he's done here today.
Hey, can y'all turn me up a little bit? So I want to make sure you hear this. But Wade, God did something, and there was a relationship formed with Wade that we've shared this passion since that day, and we have talked. I still talk to Wade on the phone, and it was not by accident. It was a purpose.
Yeah, that's good.
I just want to say how proud I am of Jeremy, and even though he just threw me under the bus, he is the resurrection and the life, and I love you, bro. I'm proud of him because it would have been easier to stay put and not take that step of faith. And I know now his involvement. I remember one of the things you came back afterwards and did. You said, I want to do a small group for kids of single moms. Like, that was never on the radar for him. There was not even, he never looked at it that way. But afterwards, it began to pick up a lot of momentum. And the work that God had done in his life was starting to show, not just for him personally and for his family, but it was showing for others. And he has become a very influential person in so many people's lives. And I just want to say how proud I am of Jeremy and as a friend and as a pastor even, and the privilege it is to work together with him. And it's been pretty awesome because, you know, it gets out. When you start doing mission stuff, it does get crazy, am I right? It gets crazy. And to have a guy who's willing to get in the crazy with you is pretty incredible. And so I'm thankful that Jeremy is here. I love this dude. I'm serious. This guy, even though he didn't like me for a little while, I always loved him. And so, although I may have been trying to protect Christy, but anyway, the Lord worked it out. And so, anyway, Jeremy, I appreciate you, bro, being here today. Come on, why don't you give him a hand? And then we're going to shift gears here, and we're gonna talk to Paul. Yeah, you can go sit by your wife. I know she needs you now. So, you got to have a friend like Jeremy where you can mess with them even in public, and they're cool with it. And that's what makes this stuff so incredible, because it's like, you know, when we say we're better together, I remember when we were moving here to start the church, Jeremy was like, I'm not letting you go do this by yourself. And when we moved all of our stuff here, I mean, he was there. He was the last one to leave. And he didn't want to go. And he was constantly like, what do you need me to do? How can I help you? Always just lending a helping hand. And I had no idea that that trip was going to do that, that the work that God did in his life was going to lead to this. And here we are today. And, I mean, God's working on some things. And so just to shift gears a little bit, I want to bring Pastor Paul up here today, because one of the things we want to make sure that we're doing as a church is we're not just setting up great opportunities, but we're really expressing what our heart is. And that's what our goal of today is to get to the heart. Because I promise you, if we were to ask you to do more for God, in your mind, you're saying, I can't. My schedule is maxed out, and I can't find time to even brush my teeth, Pastor Wade. And I would say, you need to take a break. Anyway, but you know what I'm saying? And then if it comes to giving, you're saying, my budget is maxed out. I don't have any room. And really, we've got to get back to our heart as a church and not just thinking of everything with our minds. We've got to have some heart in this. And so what we want to do today is share a little bit of our heart. And I want to start with one verse of scripture, Pastor Paul, that just came to mind. And it is in Galatians 6. It says, therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people. As we have the opportunity. And I want you to know, church, we got some amazing opportunities sitting in front of us. And he says, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Anybody in here is the family of believers. That's the church. It's us. And so I want to just kind of ask you some questions here today. We're just going to have a conversation that they're going to listen to. And we had this conversation the other day, which is why we're doing this. We were talking about it. It was like, we need to do this in front of everybody. And so I hope it's good. So don't mess it up, okay?
Feel you.
What would you?
We'll talk after service. I have some notes that we can.
What would you say though to that person who says, you know what, I do want to do something for God. I do want to make a difference. We said carry one another's burden. I want to carry somebody else's burden. Where does that like? What do you like? Where does a person even begin with that thought?
Well, I can talk about my experience coming here into this church, and I think that's an amazing journey. So coming here to this church, and we had a panel not too long ago where you heard stories about everybody else and how this church has affected their life. And when Kelsey and I came here, the church was, I noticed generosity. I noticed serving. I noticed everybody was happy. There was a lot of freedom in the church. And Kelsey and I just sat back and watched. We said, let's see if this church is what we think it is. And we sat there, and you and the church kind of just let us get refreshed. And when we started getting refreshed, we saw more freedom and more people doing things. And then the buzz started. We noticed the buzz. And be here at 7. I'm going to get here at 6:30. I'm like, that guy's crazy getting here at 6:30 in the morning. Like, what is he talking about? So the buzz was there. The freedom was there. And I started hearing it more. And when there's a buzz around something, you just want to be a part of it. And I knew it was what God was doing in their personal lives through the church. So Kelsey and I said, okay, it's time to step up. It's time. This is the church. This is where God's calling us. And we just started stepping up. We wanted to be a part of what God was doing in serving in the local church. So that's where our journey started. But when we talk about, hey, I want to serve, I want to jump into something, I would say, Pastor Wade, the biggest thing to look at is, what are you doing with what God's already giving you? And what I mean by that is, there's already people in your life that you are called to serve. I've heard it a lot of times. I came from a bigger church before, and I've heard, you know, Paul, I'm going to go to Africa. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do this. I can't wait. I'm like, you're 21. That's great. And I love that. But, like, what are you doing right now? I haven't seen you serve anywhere. I haven't seen you serve in the church. I haven't seen you serve in a youth group. I haven't seen you serve at any of our outreaches. And I would call these college students out and say, like, God's already given you some stuff. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, God's already placed people around you that need your influence, that need to see your freedom, that need to see Jesus. Like, what are you doing with that? And they kind of look at me puzzled, and that wasn't the answer they wanted. I think they wanted a donation to help them go to Africa, and I didn't. I was like, no, my wallet's not. I don't feel that yet. He hasn't spoken to me. And I would just ask them that. I'd say, hey, listen, like, God has given you close people around you, meaning your immediate family, and then your close friends. Like, how are you encouraging them? How are you loving them? How are you, are they in church? Do they need prayer? Do they need this? And I kind of started calling out the intimate things that were very close to them at first. And then I think another, it's called a sphere of influence. And in Galatians 6, or 2 Corinthians 10, 13, it talks about how God has given us a very specific area of influence. Mm-hmm. Boundaries, he calls it. And when you look at that, I can't go to your job and talk to people about Jesus because I don't work there. They'd probably throw me out. But I only have a very specific sphere of influence, boundaries. Yours is different, yours is different, yours is different. But if we all handle our sphere of influence, we can change the world dramatically.
Yeah, I think that's an issue for people because, you know, we have this whole world-changing mindset. We're going to change the world. How many of y'all have ever said that before when you were young? I'm going to change the world. And it was like, man, I need to change the oil in my car. You know, and there's this excitement and wanting to change the world. But the question is, where do you even start if you're going to change the world? And, you know, what you're talking about is that sphere of influence, those immediate people who are right there around you, is it working right there? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, am I having an impact with people who are right there around me in my life? And I would say this, chances are it is working. You just don't see it. It might That's be right. working for good or it might be working for bad.
That's right.
It just depends on how you're approaching it. But one of the things that we can understand is God has given us a sphere of influence. And there are people that you work with that God gave you that job, not just so that you can have money, but because he wanted to influence those people for him. You think they're crazy, but God had to put you there. You had to be there.
That's right.
And you're complaining about him, but really God needed you to be there to reach him. Come on, I don't want to preach. I want to interview. Anyway, but I'm getting motivated.
Just preaching.
I know. It's hard to do this when you're fired up, okay?
It's okay. It's okay.
All right, Laurel, let's go.
It's okay.
Okay.
Well, I think too, Pastor.
Break it down. Let's break it down, Paul.
Well, I think it goes to also where are you at right now in life. You're in a different place, Jeremy, than you were 8 years ago, okay? Doug, you're in a different place. You're Highlands. You're here. You're there. You're helping out. God has placed you somewhere very intentionally. And I know before I came here, the job I had right before I came here, I hated it. I woke up. I was like, what am I doing here? This is a mistake. I thought I was supposed to do this. Maybe God made a mistake because I didn't hear him wrong. I didn't hear him wrong, but my motives were wrong. But I was miserable. And then one day God said, I put you here because look of who is around you. I need you to start talking to them about who I am. Don't complain. Don't do this. Ben's part of our e-group. And he comes to our e-group and we talk about how our week was and stuff like that, and it's awesome. And he's a physical therapist, and he says, man, he's like, I love it. I love my job. I love what I do. And I'm like, man, that's awesome. Why? And he's like, because people think I'm just helping them with physical therapy. I'm helping their shoulder. I'm helping their leg. But the whole time, God's allowing me to speak about who he is and that he's the true healer. And he's like, hey, I can help you fix this, but hey, do you know Jesus? Hey,
it's all a setup, man.
It's a setup. But God, you're already in that place. You're already at that job. You already have those. You drive through Starbucks, Kelsey Tompkins, at 9 o'clock every morning. You see the same lady at the drive-through counter. That's your place. Hey, how are you doing? You see her every day for 6 months. It's not hard to say, hey, where do you go to church?
You said something the other day when we were having this conversation, and I didn't forget it. You said, you know, I think we got to recognize the people God's put in our life. We got to look at the places that he's put us. But then you said something about the passion.
Well, we heard Jeremy talk about it today. The passion is everything that drives you. The passion is, like, why are you doing what you're doing? When you wake up in the morning, what did God create you for? I think you said it perfectly. Why was I created? What's the passion behind what you do? And it's just, it's such a powerful thing. It's what drives you. If your work's your passion, then you're going to put all your time, energy, money, resource into your work. If it's another human being that you're trying to get validation from, you're putting all your faith, hope, everything into that person. But if Jesus is your ultimate passion.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had a guy who was planting a church. He was asking me some questions about, like, he said, what are you trying to do? Like, he was trying to dig in and find a secret sauce to church planting. Yeah. And he's like, what are you trying to do every day? And I couldn't even believe my answer. Mm-hmm. You ever answered somebody and couldn't believe what you said because it may have been that good? I'm serious. I was like, man, that was good. And I told him this. I said, I'm not trying. I'm just doing what I know God called me to do. And I don't know if it was encouraging or not, but I felt really, really good about it. And but I've come to learn that when you're doing what you're passionate about, you don't try.
That's right.
You're just doing it. And I'm afraid that there's a lot of people that are searching in the wrong places for their passion. Can I say this? Can I have a preach moment? Yeah. I think sometimes we rely too much on entertainment to direct our passions. Mm. Okay, back to the interview.
Well, I think too, Pastor Wade.
I'm sorry. I just felt like I had to say that.
What I love about Dominican Republic and us being a part of that, we would never have been able to do that without Jeremy's passion for it.
That's good.
We would never be able to do it without Doug's passion for Children's Cup. Their influence, their sphere of influence, opened our door, our church, to grow our sphere of influence. Mm. So for me, like, that's big. When you have those moments and those people that come together and all they want to do is help people and feed people and show people who Jesus is, let your sphere grow. You can move, you can adjust, you can, but that's what we're about.
You know, it's so cool because that's on a large scale, but if we can really bring it down to like everyone's level, you don't realize how big your sphere of influence can grow just by being a part of an e-group.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, and I'm not trying to do a commercial for e-groups because this week this session is ended, so don't feel like we're trying to get you to go because you can't, okay, till the summer. But anyway, I'm just trying to be smart about this. Yeah. I don't want you to think we got an agenda. But your influence grows because you didn't know that by answering that one question in that e-group and that by answering it, it would have that much impact on that other person's life. And then Next thing you know, they're like, can I talk to you afterwards?
That's right.
And they begin
that's
to right. talk to you, and this organic ministry begins to take place. And that's where really the influence of the church begins to grow. It,
right.
Listen, the influence of the church doesn't happen on a microphone.
That's right.
Amen. It happens in people's homes. It happens in the coffee shop, at the restaurant, eating some breakfast. I mean, this is where it's happening at. And so many times we're glorifying these hotspot positions instead of just seeing that in the everyday, ordinary life, God is working and God is using people like you to influence other people's life. Okay, so we got to get moving because we're talking a lot about this. Let's put some wheels to this, Paul, okay?
Yeah.
So how can we do this? Like, yeah, we got the sphere of influence and God has put us in these different places and he brings you to these different things. And by the way, I believe God brought you to this place today to expose you to these things that we're doing so that you can jump on board and increase the capacity of what God's called
That's
us
right.
to do.
Yep.
But let's put some wheels to this because how are we going to really do this in a practical way?
I think you just meet them in the place, their place of need. Everybody has needs, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, it doesn't matter. But when you meet them in their place, it's a lot different than you saying, hey, come to my place. The people from Dominican Republic, these children can't come to Emerge Church. They can't come to Tallahassee. Jeremy went and met them in their place. And then his passions changed. His heart grew. All these different things happened. So I believe that there's emotional needs that people have. There's physical needs. I have physical needs. Hey, I'm going through this, and my father just died, and I don't have the money to cover the funeral, and I don't have this, and this is going on, and we as a church, we as Christians can step up and say, I can help you with that physical need. And I believe that when you start to help them with that physical need, their guard comes down. Their heart starts to say, oh, you really do care about me. Not just the Christian, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. And they walk away and you're still sitting there holding a funeral bill.
Yeah.
So when you step up and you meet that need, the guard comes down and God allows you to move in and say, hey, let me pray for you real quick. Let me show you who Jesus is and how he can heal your heart from this loss.
You know, I like what Cynthia said last week whenever
she
was speaking.
That's my second one. Don't
I can't help it. She's my wife. And so when she talked about these ladies that played this role in her life of being a gap filler.
Yeah.
Because her mom had passed away and that she had a need for a mother. And there were these women that would stand in that place for her, and the impact that they have had on her life still to this day has influenced her now to influence other women. Those are the things that you can't script out, y'all.
That's right.
These are not the things that you sit there and say, let's write a really, really cool story for somebody. This is how the Lord works in our lives, where he sees a need and God puts somebody there. What if there's somebody in your life that has a need and you are the person that God would use to meet that need? Like, what if? Can you imagine how incredible that relationship could be for you? I mean, I have needs, and there are people that God brings in my life. I want to say this, and I hate to keep preaching, but y'all are getting me so fired up today. God created you to solve a problem.
That's right. That's true.
He created you to solve a problem. Now, don't forget, he's the Savior. Okay, so don't try to be Jesus. He's got that undercover.
Yeah.
But he will use you to represent him in so many different situations if we could just tune into it. And so I think whenever you start meeting people in a place of need, that's where you start seeing the burden. And it's easier to avoid it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you don't see it, you don't feel obligated to do anything about it. But when you see it, it's like, I have to do something.
Right.
That's what happened to Jeremy that day.
That's right. He saw
and he's like, I got to do something. And really, he was like, get out of the way. Here we go. Let's get the party started. And now here we are today. We're just planning a bigger party now.
And I think when you're living in freedom, you can take that freedom to these emotional, spiritual, financial, whatever the need is. When it's Galatians 6:2 says about carrying somebody else's burden, it actually fulfills the law of God.
Mm.
So, but you can't do that unless you're on the same level with them, okay? Mm. If someone's going through a divorce and their heart's broken, you have to get down on their level and get shoulder to shoulder, elbow to elbow, and say, I understand what you're going through. Let me help you carry some of this. I need you to call me throughout the week. Let me bring some meals over to you and your kids. Let me just really carry this with you. And I think that's so important. Us as a church, we can carry a heavy load, but until we actually get down and do that,
yeah.
we can't help them spiritually.
Yeah.
We can't help them emotionally. We can't. We just have to kind of get down in the dirt with them.
So what's the end goal of this? Like, where is all of this heading? Because there's a lot of people doing good across our world today. There are a lot of churches doing good. There are a lot of people who are doing good. But what is the end goal of this? Like, where would you tell them that we're headed with this?
I would just say, God has given you a gift of freedom, and maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you're walking there, you're halfway there, you feel like you're doing better. Whatever. Maybe you're in full freedom and you're loving and enjoying every minute of it. But our job, I think the end goal is to share that freedom with somebody else. And that freedom, Jesus came to serve. Well, he was free. So his goal here on this earth was to serve. So I think that's the end goal, is to serve them through your freedom, show them who Christ is, always point them to Jesus. I had a pastor, he'd said, Paul, if you ever get up and preach or speak or whatever, and people see more of you than they do of Jesus, you've failed. And that was like a punch in the gut. But it's always a great reminder, like, am I doing this because of Jesus? Or am I just doing it because I want everybody to see me? And when you begin to just give and pour into other people and just show them your true heart and get down in the dirt with them, it starts to change you too. So point them to Jesus and then point them to the church.
Yeah.
Because so many of our families, you know, we're talking about having that sphere of influence. And that's great and everything, but well, they live in Kansas, Paul. They can't come here. There's great churches in Kansas. I don't know where they are, but you can look them up.
Yeah,
you can listen to a podcast. You can see if it's a life-giving church. ARC, we're part of ARC. There's churches everywhere. But what I'm saying is you have to put in the effort. You have to help them. You have to work. But point them to the local church, because as a church, when we come together, we get stronger. We get encouraged. We get spoken into. We get counsel poured into us. That way we can go out and do it into the world. So I would just say, point them to Jesus.
Yeah.
Let them see Jesus more than you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, invite them to church. Get them in a local church. Be that you are the church. Share the word of God with them. Pray. I'm going to tell this story real quick. Kelsey and I just went to we just needed a night off, get away from the horses, the family, everything, and just go. And we booked a hotel room. We get there, and we're at the front desk, and the lady's like, hey, there's only a double bed left. I'm like, Kelsey, you're in that bed? No, she wouldn't have that. So we only have a double bed left. And I'm like, okay. And we have a view of the courtyard. I said, you mean the parking lot? Well, yeah, yes, sir. I said, listen, I don't mind paying a little bit more. We came to see the beach. We're at the beach. We're paying a lot of money. Hold on, let me get my supervisor. Supervisor comes over, this wonderful older lady. She comes over, and she's like, let me see what I can do. I said, I have faith in you. Like, I know you can find me that room. You know, I'm encouraging her, trying to like... How much more is it? Like, just give it to me for free. You know, I'm just trying to get what I can. And I'm like, listen, my wife loves the beach. Her feet hit the beach, and she has peace, and she meets with Jesus a lot soon. I mean, that's her spot. And I said, just, you know, in 3 minutes, from the time she walked over to help us, she's just talking about faith. Oh, you have faith? What kind of faith you got? I got faith in Jesus. I got faith in God. I got faith you're going to give me that room I need. And she's like, oh, do you? Okay. And she never looks up at me. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? I'm like, yeah. She's like, well, I got you that room. I said, thank you so much. I knew you could do it. She comes around the counter. She grabs Kelsey and I, and she said, will you pray for me? She said, I know you have faith, and you're talking about Jesus and God. She goes, there's this gentleman. This lady's probably 55, 60. And she said, there's a guy that I met in high school that I feel like I'm supposed to marry. And he's coming to our family reunion, or school reunion. It must be like their 50th, I don't know. But they're coming to this reunion, and I didn't tell him. I just keep telling him he needs to come. I didn't tell him why. I didn't want to freak him out. I said, smart woman. Don't tell him he's coming and he's going to get married. Like, don't do that. But he's been really sick, Paul. And I need him to get better so he can come, because I need to tell him that God has him for me. Like, in 3 minutes, that whole conversation happened. So, Pastor Wade, like, sometimes we have to look for those. Yeah. Sometimes we have to, like, throw out some words and bait it. It's okay. It's for Jesus. But, like, people want that. They don't care if they're a Christian or not a Christian. Somebody's going through a trauma. Someone's lost somebody. What's the first thing they do? Can you pray for us?
Yeah.
You don't even believe in Jesus. I don't care, but I know I need something.
You know, one of the cool things, and Doug's going to come up here in a minute, the first phone conversation I ever had with Doug, never saw his face ever in my life, and he said, hey, I'm with Children's Cup. We're going to be partnering, working with you guys. And so he kind of gave me a little information about him, and then he started asking me questions about you, our church.
Yeah.
He started asking about our family. And he was more interested in praying for our church and our family than he was telling us what they were all about. And honestly, it's had such an impact on me relationally with Doug. Last night we sat, seriously, people were getting upset with us because we couldn't quit talking.
Yeah.
His daughter texted the wife, said the pastor won't shut up. And not really, but anyway, it could be true. But I'll say this, that I would not have a lot of the relationships and people in my life today if it wasn't for Jesus and the church.
Come on.
And there are a lot of mixed emotions about churches and everything out there, but I know this, that my experience with Jesus has been incredible. My experience with the church has been awesome. I mean, it was in church that I met that dude right there.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that I have a friend like Jeremy in my life. And had it not been for church, I don't know if we ever would have crossed paths, Jeremy. I don't know if I would know any of you had it not been for Jesus and the church and the influence that you've had on my life and the influence that I've been able to have on your life. Do you see how this is all really a big setup? And that if we can point them to the church, if we can get people to fall in love with Jesus and point them to the church, I'm convinced that we will lead people to follow Jesus and to live out God's plans for their life. That is what our church is all about. And I believe that it's just as simple as that. And today, we just wanted to share our heart, because at the end of the day, it's not just trying to get people to come to our church service, but it's about being in that community where they are. There are a lot of people here. Cynthia and I, we met you at the ballpark. That was where there are some folks here today. I met them yesterday at the annex. They were just looking for something. We had a conversation. It was just a God moment. It was crazy how this stuff happens. You just never know how God can use you. Honestly, you never know how God can use you. But I think if we are aware that God wants to, and then we can take that freedom that God has given us and we can start putting it to work, and it can impact lives. Can I say this? That there are e-group leaders sitting in this room today. You've never led an e-group. You didn't think you could do it. There are e-group leaders sitting in this room right here today. And I would say, take the step of faith. Just like Jeremy mentioned, take that step of faith and go for it. There are people in here that can teach children's ministry so good, and you hadn't even told us yet. You're like that good. I would say take that step of faith. There are musicians in this room that can just drop it. I mean, just bring it and just take the step of faith. I want to encourage you to take the step of faith, because not only is it going to impact your life, but it's going to impact the lives of others. Amen.
That's right.
Why don't you bow your heads with me here this morning? Because perhaps even as we were sharing this interview, there's someone here today that is away from Jesus. And I'd never, ever want to do a service where we don't give someone the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. But can I say real quick, God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to show that love by giving his life on the cross to pay for every wrong thing you've ever done so that you could be forgiven. And if you're here today and you would say, Pastor Wade, I am away from God. And this loving God that you're talking about, I want a relationship with him. Would you real quick, without hesitating, I know there's a lot of anxiety that builds up at these moments right here, but you would say, I want this relationship with God that you're talking about. Would you lift a hand really, really quick and you could put it back down? Yes, sir. Anyone else would say, hey, include me in this prayer. Anyone else? Okay. Okay. Yes, sir. Anyone else? Maybe you've been running. Maybe you've been running from God, and today you're hearing this. It's kind of like when you heard Jeremy share that, you realize, I got to quit running. It's time to take a step in the right direction. Anyone else here today, say, Pastor, pray with me. Okay. This is what we do here every Sunday at Emerge. We pray this prayer all together as a church family. It's my favorite prayer to pray. And I want to ask you all to join in with me. And we're going to say it out loud. Say this. Say, dear Lord, I thank you that you love me. And you gave me your best when I was at my worst. You sent your son Jesus to bring love to me by dying on a cross and taking all of my punishment so that I can be forgiven. And so today I surrender my life completely to you, Lord. And I thank you that the plans that you have for me will succeed because you are changing me from the inside out. So today I say I'm all yours. And I take the step of faith to live my life your way. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, can we clap our hands for those guys who raised their hands today? Listen.